Now, some of you wondering what this bicycle is all about. It's a beautiful bicycle, isn't it? This looks like a very fine machine to me. And I've had this idea since I kind of got interested in the Tour de France. And I just wanted an example before you today, because I'm not getting into the personal life of Lance Armstrong. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll leave that one alone. But the skills, the abilities, the lessons that can be learned from the Tour de France. You know, as believers, we need to learn and pick up on information. The children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. And you can learn from a businessman who has been successful. You can learn from an athlete who has been successful, because the riding of that bike or one that's similar to it is not an accident when you win a race. There are things that are involved, and I don't even want to attempt to get into everything that's involved, but I do have some scriptures. This has really been in my spirit, and I came very close to having them ride through the auditorium, but they declined on that one. I was going to let them ride through that door over there and just... But that's a beautiful, beautiful bike. I want you to turn with me to two or three portions of God's Word, because I really believe God's already spoken to my heart, and I believe God has some insights and a message for us, lessons we can learn from those who win the victories. And in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." And then there's some excellent information on how to be a winner in the following three verses. "And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." There is a price tag to success. Temperate in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Paul goes on to say, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air," just running and his arms just flailing in the air, "but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I think that one verse has been a challenge keep me on my feet and keep me going in God's direction for many, many years. It'd be a heartbreaking thing to me to have the equity that I have in the ministry of serving God and just become utterly stupid and miss God. I mean, that's total waste, and we don't have to. And Paul gives us the insight on how we can finish the race strong. Now, there are two other portions of God's Word that I would like to call your attention. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 14, where Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, "This one thing I do," say it with me, "this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." And there's one other verse that I would like to share with you, and that's from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, where the Word of God instructs us to put on the whole armor of God. I'm just obsessed with what I'm talking to you about nowadays, because folks, we're going somewhere. Whether you want to go or not, you're going somewhere. We're all in a race. No matter whether you care that you're in a race or want to win the race or don't care whether you win the race, you're in a race. We're all on the track of life. We're all on the road of life. And I want to excel in my journey. I want to excel in my journey by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. One translation gives us that rendering. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Not the half armor, but the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You can stand in an evil day. You can stand in an evil school if you have to. You can stand in an evil workplace, job market. You can stand in the midst of the craziness of this world if your faith is in God. He said, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And you know, it's interesting to me to notice that the giant Apostle Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to just give some things as quickly as possible, but try to get the meat. I wonder, did anyone see any clips of the Tour de France? Did you see that with... You know, there wasn't a lot to see. You don't stand in front of the television all day watching, you know, several hours of someone riding a bicycle. But Lance Armstrong won his seventh victory. And in this tour, once a year, there are 21 stages that occupy 22 days. And on a bicycle, you cover over 2,200 miles. Now think of that. This is not neighborhood riding. This is not go on the recreational trail down by the Trinity River. 21 stages, 22 days. I mean, the days just keep rolling. And over 2,200 miles biking. It was a magazine, one of the magazines that was given to me. I haven't had a chance to process everything. I just got interested in it because I see so many scriptural teachings and truths there. It said Lance's last stand, his toughest opponent this year, himself. Interesting, isn't it? Your toughest opponent is yourself. And of course, all the questions were asked, will he do it again? Can he do it again? Will someone be better than he is, which is all a possibility. But all possibilities are erased because he crossed the finish line as a winner and won for the seventh time. And that's the record. There's some things that I think all of us can certainly learn. I have learned, and I'd like to pass these things on to you. Paul said, this one thing I do. The reason many people have trouble living for the Lord is they're trying to do too many things. Of all the things that you do, listen to me, child of God, of all the things we do, of all the things we pursue, even religious things that we do, the most important thing that you do is to serve God. That the Lord be first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, not second, not third, not fourth, but put God first. When your foot hits the floor in the morning, it ought to come to your head, God first. Read some word. Well, I need to read the paper. If you're alive, you're okay. I need to see the news. No, you need the real news, the good news, first. And saturate your mind and your spirit. Other things are important. But I'm telling you, your day goes better when you put God first. And then Paul said, be strong. That's what I want to key off of today. You've got to be strong. You've got to be strong to be a racer, to be a runner, to excel in athletes. I mean, this is not, I ride for a day and then I'm tired of that and I think I'll stop at McDonald's and catch up on my junk food. 22 days on a bicycle, 22 stages, over 2,200 miles. And every piece of equipment is important. I said, well, just, you know, pull the kickstand down and put it by the organ. They said, it doesn't have a kickstand. That's weight. Everything on this bicycle, everything on a racing bicycle is designed not to be heavy, to be as light as possible. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of excess. Get rid of things that you don't need. Lighten up in more ways than one. So there's no kickstand. And of course, there's some fluid that is needed. And everything on this bike has a purpose. Even the shoes. I can't explain it to you, but I can tell you those shoes have a purpose. These shoes were designed for racing. And there they are. And then it said, put on the helmet of salvation. That helmet, oh, and gloves. Everything here was designed for a racer to win the race. But you know, there's a decision that has to be made. That I'm going to enter the race. And if you're going to enter the race, you need good equipment. There is sporting equipment for every kind of a sport. And it's unique usually to that particular sport. But for this, everything that's associated with this sport of racing or just recreationally riding a bicycle, there's a purpose for it. So let's give you some of the insights that I feel God gave us. How was Lance Armstrong able to win his seventh victory? And a lot of people said he won't be able to do it again, but he did. First of all, Lance had a strong sponsor, Discovery Channel, that was committed to helping him and all the resources that they have. He had a strong sponsor. Now, I want you to pick up with me between points here. Let me give you a little tip, a little insight. You have a strong sponsor. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have a strong sponsor. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have a strong sponsor. Someone that cares whether you win or not. Someone who is committed to helping you in every way possible. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit of God, the helper of God, a strong sponsor called alongside to help. It's amazing how you hear sometimes something just one time and it just sticks like glue. I remember Billy Graham in one of his messages was preaching as men, oh, some time ago. He said, the greatest prayer that I've ever learned, the most profound prayer, the most effective prayer is, Lord, help me. And most of us know the rest of that prayer now. He had a good sponsor. Lance had a good sponsor. We have a good sponsor. And there's something that just fascinated me because Lance had a strong team around him. A strong team. He's not out there just riding on that road by himself. Not only does he have a sponsor, but he has a group of other cyclists that are in his party, if you want to say that, that are racing with him. And they surround him. For several reasons, because in sporting events, it's been known that people try to hurt one another. It's been known that people try to bring crashes. There's been some illegal tackles in football that ruin someone's leg for life. There's always someone trying to take a shortcut. And so they surround him because others would try to get into that and cause some kind of a problem. So it's not only for protection, But also, it's the Canadian geese type of thing that they go before him. They're breaking the wind before him, making it easier for him. And he's not out front fighting the full gust of the wind. And it's like the Canadian geese. It's a fascinating story if you ever read about the Canadian geese. They fly in formation. And everything they do, there's a reason for it. Everything they do, there's a reason. How that they'll fly point and then one drop behind. And the ones behind are always honking, saying, you can make it. You can make it. Don't quit. Don't quit. When you hear those geese up high in the sky flying, they're encouraging one another. They're saying to point man, keep on pointing. You can make it. Don't quit. Keep on going forward. So they surround him. And they surround him for protection. That he be protected. And thank God, Psalms 91 said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my rock, my strong tower. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Folks, we have a strong company around us. Not only do we have the Father, the Son. This is real. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you truth. We not only have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have the angels of God. He giveth his angels charge over us to keep us in some of our ways. No, all of our ways. We're a kept people. I like something Mrs. Criswell said, who's 90 years old and still teaching the auditorium class at First Baptist. She said, as long as you're on a mission for God in this life, you'll make it. When that mission comes to a conclusion, then you'll be out of here. 90 years of age, she's still teaching. Strong team around him. Let me tell you something. Please discover this body of Christ. We need one another. I need you. You mean you? You need me, preacher? Yes, I need you. But there's another side of the coin. You need me. Well, I'm just a visitor here today. I really don't know you. Doesn't make any difference. You're part of the body of Christ. I need you and you need me. And right now, God put us together. And God's giving me a message to give to you. If this is the only time you'll ever be here, you need me and I need you. I need your faith. I need your presence, your faith agreement. It's also a strong discipline. Strong discipline. You know, if there's anything lacking in the Christian life today, far too much, it's discipline. We're just like an old mop. We just flop anyway. If we came out of revival last night, we're all fired up. But man, you know, we're all bummed. It's been a tough week and we're all bummed out. Folks, it's time we get tough. Make up your mind what you're gonna do and drive a stake and say, by God's grace, here I stand, I can do no other. David walked out to that giant. He didn't walk out and say, hey man, what's up man? You know. He didn't say, you want to have a little dialogue here, man? You want to have a little dialogue? Let's talk a little bit. What's going on in your life? Let's talk. Let's communicate. When he walked out, the giant said, you little nothing, you coming against me? Oh, my Lord. Every time I read that, I just want to jump up and shout. David said, you come against me with a sword and with a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day, I'm going to take your head. No, David, you don't understand. Your mama's got a sad message coming. No, you don't understand. Your mama's got a sad message. She may be a big mama, but she's going to get a big sad message. Prove it, David. I'm in the process of it right now. Well, what's that all going to be about? He found out. Get rid of that old hangdog attitude. Get rid of that old no one cares about me. No one's, you know. Hey, get rid of that old hound dog ears on the ground. Get your faith up. Get your hopes up. Know that God has a good plan for your life. Discipline. Strong. Also, he had a strong, unbroken focus. Well, that's so important. Remember, Paul said, this one thing I do. Forgetting, looking, going forward. A strong ability to have unbroken focus. I'm not moved by my body. I'm not moved by circumstances. I'm not moved by what people say. Oh, in the name of Jesus, unbroken focus. I'm on a mission. I'm going to stay on that mission. There was also a strong, talking about being strong in the Lord, well, there were certain strengths that he exhibited in his own life there. A strong ability to not let the critics get him down. In France, man, they were unmerciful. They were unmerciful. They were printing terrible things about him because he was an American. They'd get out and try to trip his bike. They'd throw beer on him. They would throw liquids. I mean, he's just driving by and he had to watch just to keep his glasses clear. They'd throw things. Those folks weren't very nice. There was a strong ability to not let the crowd stop his bike. He kept his eye on the crowd. And he watched. And I don't know what you would do, but he knew things to do to keep the crowd from stopping his bike. And you know, the Bible said, hold on to your faith. Don't let anyone steal your faith. Don't let anyone trip up your bike of faith, if I could say it like that. Holding faith and a good conscience, go forward. Don't let anyone stop your progress. There was a strong determination to beat cancer. Now, there's a fine line here, okay? I'm not commenting on the man's personal life. Don't know. There's some things there that certainly need some help. But I'm going to give a man credit who said, I'm going to be positive in a negative situation. I'd rather have coffee with a positive thinker any day than a negative thinker. And when this man had cancer, not only in one part of his body, but in several parts of his body. Very interesting. I mean, you know, these are things you don't play with. And sometimes people just say, well, I'm not going to get an examination. Well, not getting an examination is not a test of spirituality or non-spirituality. And I encourage people all the time, if there's doubts, go check it out. Go check it out. That God's still on the throne. God's not going to fall off the throne because you have some test and you go through some things. And then it equips you. There may be nothing there, but now you know how to target and direct your faith. But there's something about this man. See, even if you're not born again, which is the ultimate, there's something about a decision that a person can make that releases something that goes beyond our understanding. The Tower of Babel is a case in point. Evil project, evil thought, God stopped it. But God said there's something there so strong that if it's not stopped, you know, that still blows my mind. That far back, you think they were just ancients and they had nothing going. Hey, there was something there. There was something there. Something there that we don't understand and we'll only understand in the presence of God. Something there. I know there's all different kinds of ideas about it. But God said if we don't stop it, read it. It's amazing what people can do when they make up their minds. On the plane, and I understand CBS played the same thing. Now, this is crazy. There are people that run 100 miles a day. It made me tired watching the special. They do it once a year. And they're all right around their 40s. These are not 20s and 30s. In their 40s. One lady's 44 years old, has two or three children, a husband. And they train for this thing. And they literally, there's a marathon. It goes through the desert. It goes kind of like the bike thing. Goes up mountains. And they eat junk food while they jog. They call up pizza people and the truck comes up and hands them a pizza. And they're running down the road eating their stuff, you know. I mean, everything about that's kind of strange to me. But they have run up to 100 miles a day. Now, I want to see their body about 10 years from now. Or 5 years from now. But right now, they did it. And in essence, what it was saying was, it's amazing. It made me get under condemnation for even having a pain. Because when you make up your mind, you just get up and say, oh man, I'm just in it, and I got this, and I got this, and Arthur, and I got Arthur, and I got something else, you know. I mean, Satan will just show you all kind of things wrong with your body. But it's amazing when you get up and stand up, especially those that know who we are in Christ Jesus, and just say, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Spirit, I have the Word of God, God's with me. If God be for me, who can be against me? And I know not everyone makes it. I'm not here to give all the answers. But if somebody can run 100 miles a day, there's something there that we need to learn from that, because they said when you make up your mind, there's something of that endorphins, and there's something that even goes further. The heart produces things that it doesn't normally produce, and says, we got a radical situation on our hands. We got to do everything we can to help this person. And it's amazing what the human body can do when we just crawl out of our comfort zone and stop saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, and just stop, you know, stop beating yourself up. And just say, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. We can make it, we can do it, we can do it. Amen. I'm not being critical of anyone, because I'm right in the same circle. But I believe I'm stirring something up here today. You know, we roll over and play dead too quick. I mean, we quit too quick. We just find excuses. Man, I just can't make it. Well, maybe you can't, maybe you won't. But why not try? What if you do? And what if no one else is making it, but you make it? What if everyone else fails, but you succeed? What if? Why not? What if? Why not? This is the message of the gospel of Christ. When everyone in Paul's life quit, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. That intrigues me. And I look in the mirror and I say, oh boy, shape up. Get with the project. You can do more. You can be more. You can experience more. The all things are yours message is still stirring in my heart, and I can't go there this morning. But all things are yours. All things that pertain to life and godliness, God has provided them for us. Strong ability to handle dull days. Unless you've discovered it, there's some days in serving God that are kind of boring. There's some days in serving God you think, man, what's it all about? And that's a legitimate feeling or emotion at that point. But here's the thing about biking. There's days that they just stay with the pack. They're not out there making records. They just stay with the pack, because if you don't quit, you have a good chance of winning. You stay with the pack. It's not bad to have a normal day. It's not bad to have a yucky day every once in a while, because we all have them. Bob Nichols. Yeah. We all have some days. But you stay with the pack. You keep going. You don't quit. So you woke up that morning, your body's aching from the days of racing before. If I don't get on that bike, I can't win. If I get on the bike, I have a possibility of winning. But if I stay here, I lose everything. But if I get on the bike, I might have the big break. I might have the breakthrough there. So you stay with the pack. Now, there's a simple yet profound truth that I'm working on right now. Every day is not the same day. And you've lost a loved one. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything just bounces around. I mean, there'll be some challenging days. But what I'm saying, with all of us, there are challenging days. Every day I wake up, I don't feel like doing what I do. Every day I wake up, I don't feel like doing what I know I have to do what God called me to do. But you do what you have to do to get to do what you really enjoy doing. And that's what a lot of folks haven't figured out. They want the dessert without the work. They want the perks without proving themselves. Now, get this down in your spirit. Every day is not going to be a, whoa, hilarious victory day. There's days of existence. There's days of hanging in there. There's days when you feel like when the day was over, you're hanging by your fingernails. But you were still there, and you didn't quit. And if you don't quit, you have a good chance at winning. In fact, if you don't quit, you will win on some level. You will win on some level. You know, we have an average day and we get all bummed out and under condemnation. Hey, you're still breathing, still alive. After all you've been through this week, and here you are in church on Sunday morning. A strong group of bikers around him to protect him and save his strength. There's also a strong ability to learn from past victories as well as defeats. Some people never learn. A strong ability. This man is constantly analyzing, why did I make it? How did I make it? And then the times when I didn't make it, what did I do to lose on that day or in that segment of my competition? You see, we need to understand that a strong ability to learn and profit from past victories and defeats. You say, well, I'm in one of those frustrating times right now. Learn. I mean, it's embarrassing when you're in the third grade and you have a long beard and your hair's gray. Learn and graduate. Oh, here's another good one. A bike rider's training doesn't start 30 days before the race. You know what those bikers are doing that are going to be in competition the next time this comes? They're already in training. And you know, they not only train physically, they train diet-wise. Well, I could get into a lot of things here, but there's a lot of ways. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. No, you don't have to win. It's like Joe Louis. He walked through a cafeteria one time, and there was this big chiffon chocolate pie there, and the pie said, eat me, Joe, eat me. And he said, I'd rather be world champion than eat you. It's a decision. He was world champion at that time. But a bike rider's training doesn't start 30 days before a race. Diet, exercise, sleep, mental toughness, all year long you're in training for the big race. And I like something that his coach said. They said, well, does Lance have fears? He said, Lance believes this, you cannot win a race and be eaten up with fears. You cannot win a race and be eaten up with fears. Well, what if you lose? What if you lose this stage? There'll be another stage. What if you don't do everything you'd like to do today? I'll do it tomorrow. Don't live with fear. Two or three more. Remember that there are many victory days. There are many bummed out days, but there are many. Remember your victory days. Celebrate your victory days. Celebrate your victory days. And remember that you win if you don't quit. I mean, we're talking about basics here today. The only way everybody can win is in Jesus. Every football team can't win all the time. Every baseball team can't win all the time. Every team cannot win every time it plays. The only way we can all be a winner is in Christ. We all win in Jesus. We all win in Jesus. Here's just a few summary thoughts. Lance has never won a tour alone. We need each other. Every teammate, support staff, and coach had to give 100% to ensure his win. You talk about folks pulling together? Bless God, I don't want him to win. Well, you don't even need to be on the team then. Because it's the partner's concept. If Lance wins, I win. We win. The team wins. And he had to train just as hard and keep the same determination that he had in his past year wins. He couldn't say, well, I really trained hard last year, so I'm going to slack off. No. Takes the same discipline, the same training, the same commitment for this one, for number 7, that it took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you see, everything they eat, how long they ride, even in practice, how long they sleep, is recorded. So really, their life is not their own. Their life is monitored. So is yours and so is mine. Our life is monitored. how long they ride, how long they sleep, what they eat. Their life really is not their own. Paul said, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Another tragic thought here is another cyclist, former teammate Lance, Tyler Hamilton, who was considered one of the few real contenders to beat Lance, was banned from cycling 2 years ago for failing a drug test. He's appealing now, but he's a year older than Lance, and he may have lost his chance to win a tour. See, there's no shortcuts. No shortcuts. You do what's right today. You may not be as famous. You may not get the biggest trophy. You may not be whatever. But just do today what is right. But there's one that, it excites me. Here you are riding with a pack. Seems like life lately has kind of been boring. But you see, each one of them have certain expertise. And Lance has an expertise that puts him above the pack. He doesn't really get fired up until he gets on a grade or he starts up a mountain. You'd look at them and they're all just in the pack. But there's that communication, whether it's the nod of a head or a wink. And he rises up. Sometimes another team will rise up with him. And they said, now it's our time. We've been with the pack long enough. We're going to climb that mountain. We're going to do what these legs do best. We're going to do what we've been in training for. And they rise above the pack and they move out ahead. You say, well, it's only 3 minutes or 2 minutes or 4 minutes, but it's a win. It's not how big the win is. It's the fact you win. 1 point you can win basketball. 1 point you can win football. 1 point. 1 point. And I'm trying to hold myself calm on this point. Because I'm telling you in the spirit, I just see some of you, Lord, saying, it's time for you to rise up and put those legs of faith into motion. Do what you do best. Do what you've been training for. The rest of these guys, they're pack guys. They're isolated to the pack. But you were made for the incline. You were made for the mountains. You were made to pull ahead. You were made for higher ground. You were made for mountains. You were made for the incline. You weren't made to spend all your life with a pack. Stand up and go for it. And say, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Do what Caleb did. Caleb and Joshua stayed with the pack. It was the only thing they could do. They had no choice. But there came a day when Caleb stood up and he said, this mountain. It's time to praise God.